This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. We are breaking down this weekend's playoff games. Coming up in about 18 minutes from now, Rodney Harrison is going to join us. Analyst, Sunday Night Football, NBC. He'll drop on by to help us preview next Sunday's AFC and NFC Championship games and analyze what we saw this past weekend of the NFL. Plus, later on in the hour, are the Rams now a ground-and-pound team versus an aerial attack? All of that coming up this hour on the show. As always, you can hit us up on the phones, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Questions, comments, concerns, whatever you think about this weekend's playoff games on the table today, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. 25 years is a long time. 25 years is a long time. Over the course of 25 years, the New England Patriots have been to 9 Super Bowls. 25 years is a long time. 25 years ago, the Cowboys were a dynasty. It's a long time. Long time. 25 years ago, Bill Clinton was in his first term in office. Long time. Long time ago. 25 years ago, Mraz was just a small, chubby toddler. 5 years old, something like that?
Seven.
25 years ago is a long time. Long, long time. And so for the Kansas City Chiefs to have been consistently in the playoffs and never having won a home playoff game at Arrowhead in that time, fairly startling. You realize when you watch Saturday's game at Arrowhead how crazy this is. The last quarterback, of course, to have led the Chiefs to a home playoff win was Joe Montana, who retired in April of 1995, which was the same year Adam Vinatieri began his professional kicking career. He was in NFL Europe tryouts that year, latched on with the Patriots the year after, and he was still kicking on Saturday against the Chiefs. The circle of life. But 25 years is a long time, and there's a lot of Elvis Gerbachs, Steve Bonos, Dave Kriegs. There's a lot of Trent Greens and Matt Castles. There's a lot of Brody Croyles, Alex Smiths. And now finally, there's something different. Finally, there's Patrick Mahomes. Finally, Kansas City Chiefs fans, who are some of the best, if not the best fans in the NFL, on Saturday in a snowstorm, the gates opened up, I believe, at 10 a.m. Central Time. They were lined up 2 hours before that in a snowstorm. They were parked to wait to get into a lot to stand outside in the snow for 4 hours to then go inside to sit in the snow for another 3. They are hardy, they have heart, and they have desire and belief. And they finally have a quarterback to match that.
First down, they're going to bring it on an end around. Tyreek Hill gets a block, 35, 30, jet speed, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, snowshoes, touchdown, Kansas City, and the Chiefs, two touchdowns on their first two possessions.
Here's the snap, Mahomes back to throw, rolling to his right, Mahomes is looking, he pumps, he runs, he dives for the pylon, he is in, touchdown Kansas City, and the Chiefs lead it 23-7 with 1:40 remaining in the first half.
Offense, we started fast, had a kind of a dry spell, but we finished it off in the end, so it's a great team win. We get the opportunity to play here again next week, so we're excited for that opportunity.
That was the great voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, on the call on Chiefs Radio. Touchdown, Kansas City! And then also Westwood One on the other game call, Patrick Mahomes after the game. I actually did not think Mahomes had a great day passing-wise downfield. I thought every time that he tried to kind of go more than 20 yards, let's say, downfield, it usually kind of hung up there, had a few knuckleballs, a couple underthrows. But what Mahomes did early in the game was move the football so effectively and put touchdowns on the board. And all of the nerves that could come up with a team that had not won a home playoff game in 25 years, that's how you alleviate the pressure. And Mahomes was great underneath. I mean, his throws to Travis Kelce underneath, beautiful. And that offense is a real work of art. I mean, I know that Andy Reid gets a lot of jokes thrown his way, and he's never won a Super Bowl, and he's lost a lot of big playoff games. But my goodness, when that offense works, it is gorgeous. The motion and the movement is so beautiful. And now Patrick Mahomes just is a different beast. He's a different beast. That throw that he is throwing, sidearmed, around Colts defenders, to Kelce, to a spot, to lead Kelce, that's a Matrix-type throw. You're not supposed to physically be able to do that. He is throwing a football with velocity like a shortstop trying to turn two. He is a work of art as well. And so you combine these two things, and it is amazing. And that's why I picked him to win last week, and I told you the Chiefs are winning this football game. Forget the Colts' history. Forget the playoff losses. Forget the long drought. It's different because of Patrick Mahomes. It is different, and you saw why. And at that point in the game, it's 17-0, and the Colts can't get anything going offensively. And there's the blocked punt for the touchdown. And suddenly, 17-0 is 17-7, and uh-oh, as they like to play on the Jim Rome show, uh-oh. And so suddenly there's an uh-oh. 17-0, it felt really good. Now it's 17-7. Is this the break point? Is this the pivot point of the momentum? And the Chiefs get the ball back and march down the field. And that's where you heard that touchdown that we just played, Mahomes diving for the pylon. That's the backbreaker right there, because 17-7, if you go three and out, you punt away, the Colts get possession. Now suddenly they've got a chance to climb within a score. They've got a chance to climb within 3 points. And the Chiefs go down the field and gut the Colts. And that, to me, was the game. Because 17-7 could have become 17-14, and instead it was 24-7. Mahomes is different. He makes everything different. I'm not going to sit here and guarantee you that he beats the Patriots because the Patriots are the Patriots, even though the Patriots are very bad on the road this year. I'm not going to sit here and guarantee that he should be the Super Bowl MVP, because I don't know who they're going to play, and I don't know if they'll even be there. What I'm telling you is all the old Chief stuff gets to go out the window. You get to throw it out the window. All that old sack of Lynn Elliott and no punt and Greg Robinson and the comeback in Indy, all that stuff you get to put in a big sack and throw it into the Missouri River. It's all off the table now. Saturday made it official. It's over. Patrick Mahomes is going to have an absolutely brilliant career. And they're going to win a lot more home playoff games. They only got one. They might get two this year. They at least got one. All that old stuff is out the window. As long as they support Mahomes with the right coaching staff, the right skill weapons, and the right defense, They will be a Super Bowl contender for as long as he is healthy. He is that good. He is that much of a difference maker already in his career. And so with this, with the Chiefs win, I know a lot of Chiefs fans were celebratory, excited. They finally got the monkey off their back. They finally get to celebrate a home playoff win. And I had a couple of listeners reach out and say, D.A., you really need to go back into the archives. I had multiple requests for the Dick Vermeil montage. Now, as you know, Vermeil is a soundbite a minute, but he was really in rare form in his Chiefs years when I was covering the Chiefs in Kansas City and doing my talk show, The DA Show in KC, because he was starting to get into a little grandpa mode, and so he started saying really weird stuff combined with a team that wasn't always that good, and so it just gave us so much material, and so we are dusting off from the archives. Thanks to Craig, one of the longtime D'Aliens in Kansas City, for sending me this file, because he still listens to it on his playlist. The 2004 to 2007 Dick Vermeil montage.
It's like your mom's chocolate cake used to be a lot better than you taste it 20 years later.
So we got to go someplace else. You got to go check with me.
It's a gift from Santa Claus.
I did see him flash.
Tomorrow will be a Wednesday. Wednesday will be a Thursday, and Thursday will be a Friday.
I hurt my wife's feelings from time to time, but that's my responsibility.
And that big hammock that he has,
it's almost like it has Vaseline on it. It is slick.
And grow our package and let him bang around.
He did get a couple balls in his hands.
How loose they get, all these guys that had little dings, you better strap it on.
No place for nurses.
Jeremy Park and Tim Svevec.
Hot, hot.
Dr. Caranda?
Yeah, good man.
Downhill, very well. Duh, okay.
My God, what do I do?
Unless he's a turd bird.
Sometimes you gotta say, shut the up, you know?
I say BS.
When you do what we do, and the way we do it, and why we do it, you make how you do it an advantage.
You can't intercept a sack.
I got my ass chewed out. I mean, it was pretty good.
That's your problem. You solve it.
Jesus Christ. You guys, don't get me started.
If we're underdogs, overdogs, or hot dogs.
Scarpanzo's got a boo-boo.
I can get pissed off.
And he can't hear you anymore. And he forgot what you just told him.
Little children have night-nights.
It's electronic. It's technical.
It's not that he's a deaf-mute. He just doesn't say anything.
See, we're not deaf-mutes.
Stripping drills. He would teach stripping.
Baloney. I bet he's said, oh, poop. Frog had wings, he could fly.
For some reason, what I say is not believed.
I listened to some broadcast yesterday, and something said, I said, I can't believe it.
Believe me.
Get that lactic acid out of your body.
Each person's knee is his own knee.
Jeez, you know, I talk too much all the time.
The offense service themselves, the defense service themselves.
The DA Show, in the middle of it all.
You frickin' blow.
Just remember that.
That right there is a blast from the past. That is a montage more than 12 years ago that we used to play on the show because Vermeil is so kooky and there's so much there. But those were his press conferences on a weekly basis, and you just couldn't believe that he was saying what he was saying. And then also coaching your football team. Glory days. Congratulations, Chiefs fans. Dr. Caranda, yeah, good man. When we come back here on the DA Show, Rodney Harrison's going to join us on the program. We will preview the AFC and NFC title games and talk about what happened this weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Oh, okay.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
20 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for listening to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network. Then also on Sirius XM Channel 206. Check us out across the CBS Sports Radio Network and then also Channel 206 on Sirius XM. We are efforting Rodney Harrison to join us from Sunday Night Football and the NFL on NBC coming up here shortly, so stick around for that. You can always hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Jimmy tweets in, DA, of the four NFL losers this past weekend, who has the brightest future? I think there's a couple of teams that should feel really good. I think the Indianapolis Colts lead the pack because getting Andrew Luck back and healthy was enormous. Remember, a year ago, we did not know if his career would ever be the same. And granted, he did not look good Saturday at Arrowhead. But over the course of this season, and in that game of the wild card round against Houston, it looked like old Andrew Luck. And if you've got old Andrew Luck, that means you can win a Super Bowl. But combine that with drafting Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard. Combine that with very good draft classes and free agent pickups to really shore up that offensive line. Combine that with somehow kind of falling into Frank Reich after Josh McDaniels bowed out. I think the Colts, as bad as they looked on Saturday, have to feel great about their season and their future. Great. I don't know what to think about the losers yesterday. I don't know what to think about the Chargers. This year, they seem to all put it together. But to bow out like that, as I've said before, Phillip Rivers has come up small in a lot of big spots. And yesterday was yet another one. And Anthony Lynn, while going 12-4 this year and winning a playoff game on the road in Baltimore last week, was just made to look like a fool yesterday by the Patriots. And Bosa and Ingram, who were so good all season, were completely neutralized. Perhaps that is an anomaly for the Chargers, and perhaps it was a really good opponent who plays really well at home. But I don't know how to trust the Chargers moving forward. If that was just a one-year wonder for L.A., or if this is somewhat of a norm for them moving forward. I don't know how to feel about the Eagles as well. As I said to lead off the show, I think you have to choose Carson Wentz right now. I think losing in the divisional round makes that somewhat easier, because if you get all the way to the NFC Championship game, it makes it a lot harder had he gone down the field and won yesterday. But I think now Nick Foles, you need to trade. And I think you can bet on Carson Wentz. But look, I'm not convinced that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win a Super Bowl again with Carson Wentz. Everything went perfectly for them. Granted, they did deal with injuries this year. But I think that Carson Wentz should be good for a while. But I don't know that because he can't stay healthy. But I know that you have to kind of bet on him, because I'd rather bet on Wentz right now than Nick Foles. And for the Dallas Cowboys, I like Dak Prescott, and I like what they brought to the table this year, and I like that the defense really grew up. But on Saturday night, they were completely outclassed. I mean, Jason Garrett and his comments after the game were clownish. It was buffoonery of him saying, "I was inspired by these guys. The hair stood up on my neck watching them. There was so much fight." It's like, hey, you just got your butt handed to you in the playoff game. This is a time, to me, to be a little tougher on expectations now. But he's so positive, that's why he keeps that job in Dallas. And I don't trust Jason Garrett. I like Dak. I like that defense. I like Zeke. But I don't trust Jason Garrett to get the most out of that team. So out of the four losers, the combination of everything that I like the best is actually Indianapolis. For the Cowboys, also that defense got mauled. That defense got mauled by the Rams, and that was not supposed to happen. If anything, the Cowboys' defense was supposed to keep that game close, and they could not stop the run for the life of them. And I kind of wonder, was it a paper tiger right there? I mean, is the Rams' ground attack that good, or did the Cowboys beat up on some lesser foes, but when the lights got bright, couldn't do it again? The one thing I will say about Dak is I thought he played relatively well in both of these playoff games. Obviously, the wild card round against Seattle, he was better than what he'd showed against the Rams. But if you combine these two games with his first playoff game against the Packers a couple of years ago when they were the one seed and lost in a shootout to Aaron Rodgers, I think Dak has acquitted himself very well in his three playoff games. I don't think Dak's ever going to be a Joe Montana sit in the pocket and slice and dice you to death. But if you are open to Dak using his legs and using his mobility, and if you are open to that being a part of the game plan, which I think you can now in today's modern NFL, I think Dak can get you to the postseason. I don't know if he can win a Super Bowl. But I do think that the one thing you take away from the Cowboys in this playoff run and the run of the second half of the season was, you gave Dak Amari Cooper. He already had Ezekiel Elliott. And with those supporting pieces, he can win you football games and win you a playoff game. And there's nothing wrong with a quarterback that wins the division and gets into the wild card round and wins a game or two. He might not ever win a Super Bowl, but you are closer today than you have been in a long time. And I might even throw this in with Tony Romo. And I said this last week, and I hold to it. Dak's already a more accomplished playoff quarterback than Tony Romo. Romo had a long time to win a lot of games for the Cowboys and didn't. Dak has now played relatively well or very well in all three of his playoff games. Again, Saturday wasn't great, but I think a lot of that had to do with how well the Rams played in the trenches, both on offense and defense. They just kind of owned the line of scrimmage. But I tell you this, I trust Dak Prescott today in a playoff game more than I ever trusted Tony Romo in a playoff game. That's saying something. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Josh in Arizona tweets, DA, this is the greatest show on radio. Food, Philip Rivers, and Saved by the Bell takes. What more could you ever want? Hashtag, I like that. Hashtag, yes, I am a big boy. Look, when I have somebody call me out for, in his mind, criticizing Mark Paul Gosselaar / Zach Morris, I need to correct it. I cannot let history sit here and judge me on a judgment of Zach Morris, because I'm not doing that. I am not here to criticize or besmirch the reputation of Cooper from Dead Man on Campus. That's not what I'm here to do. Now, there were a lot of promos for the passage this weekend. A lot. And I saw a lot of previews for this series about a little girl that somehow saves us from vampires. And I'm not completely comfortable with a brown-haired Zach Morris fighting vampires. Not huge. But I'm certainly not here to somehow criticize Scott from A Cry in the Wild Part 2, White Wolves. It's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to besmirch a star of Good Morning, Miss Bliss. I'm not here to do any of that. I would never, ever, ever take an unfair shot at a star of Franklin and Bash. It is not what I am here to do. So maybe you're here to critique Detective Marconi from Heist. Not me. Not me. Tell you that. Not me. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I'm actually in some hot water with my girlfriend right now because of your show. She asked me how I'm doing at work. I respond, a little wet, a little drippy. I'm doing nothing but speaking in your show drops, and it is actually causing me problems in my personal life.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, we wouldn't want that. We tend to rot your brain with the type of things that we do here on the show, but we hope that it's a healthy rot. 37 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Had to move some things around for Rodney Harrison. He'll now join us at the top of next hour. So he'll join us at about 10 minutes past next hour. So stick around for that, about a half hour change from now. Rodney is still scheduled to join us here on the show. Welterweight superstars return to the ring when legendary 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao meets 4-time champ Adrian the Problem Broner. Two of the biggest stars in boxing, one explosive fight, Pacquiao. Saturday, January the 19th, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Okay, so question here. After what we saw the Rams do on Saturday night, after we did not see them take to the air all night long against the Cowboys, where we've seen that aerial attack for Sean McVay sing a number of times, Are we now seeing a ground-and-pound edition of the Rams? See, I know it's easy to take shots at Sean McVay because he's young and handsome and everybody wants the next Sean McVay. And until you win something significant, like getting to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl, it's hard to really say boy genius and not kind of laugh a little bit. But here's where I thought that McVay was awesome. McVay saw the ground attack working. Even though that appeared to be a weakness on a strength, it did not appear that the Rams were going to win the line of scrimmage against a thumping team like the Cowboys and did. And when it worked, he kept using it and did not go away from it. And even though it wasn't the pretty stylistic win, he took it. I didn't really like McVay's decision-making on a lot of fourth downs in that game. I thought it was questionable when he went for it and when he did not. But what I liked schematically was they didn't need to win pretty. That C.J. Anderson happened to have a really effective night. And so did Todd Gurley. And that was going to be enough. Jared Goff only threw for less than 200 yards in this game. But he was willing to take it to get the win. And I loved seeing that from Sean McVay. If the Rams can run the football like that, the Rams are a problem. Now, they're already in the NFC Championship game, so they're already a problem. But Goff is not the type of guy that needs accolades. He's just so understated. He just is so egoless. He's quite boring and vanilla, to be quite honest. But that's okay, because he can sling it, but he's okay when they run it. And I thought that Saturday's game was a potential real problem for the Saints. Because it's one thing when you go, okay, we know we have to kind of slow down the passing attack and we can't let them beat us downfield and they've got a lot of weapons. It's another thing when you have to go into a game and say, wow, we have to load up for a power ground game, a power run game with two backs that can run for 100 yards and then also protect ourselves downfield. The Rams, the way that they won, extremely impressive. Extremely impressive Saturday. And they didn't blow out the Cowboys, but it's not about style points of the playoffs. Survive in advance. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. And I think it's not a surprise that this year, the season of 2018, January 2019, the NFL's Final Four is three of the most explosive offenses in the NFL and Tom Brady. The Patriots, forget what we saw yesterday. They're not usually going to put up 40-some-odd points. And certainly on the road, they have not looked very good offensively at all. And Gronk might retire, and Josh Gordon is not playing for them anymore, and Brady's now 41-plus years old, so they're not built like the other three teams are. But look, they were able to outscore the Chiefs earlier in the season. And with where at least where this season is, I don't know if the pendulum swings back, but where the NFL is this season and where it feels like the NFL is going, there's no doubt that it is very appropriate that the three highest scoring offenses, three of the best scoring offenses, three of the most explosive scoring offenses in the NFL are three of the final four left, and then Tom Brady. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too, get it all. Geico.com. Aaron is next up in Abilene, Texas, listening on 98.1 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Aaron?
Good morning, D.A. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm a little wet, a little dripping.
Right on. Up. All right.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
So what's up?
Hey, man, my call was about Phillip Rivers, but as a Cowboy fan, can I make a couple points real quick?
Just, yeah, of course.
Just some my observations of that game. A couple of things. First of all, Jason Garrett, does he not remind you of the orchestra band on the Titanic as it's going down. Hey, we got a pretty ship, but it's going down. Everything's good here. You know, and look, look, Dak did not have a good game. He missed a lot of open receivers. And I'm going to tell you right now, what he needs to do in the offseason, him and Gallup need to go to the backyard and throw like 2,000 passes, 2,000 or 3,000 passes this summer and just get their timing down. And I don't know for the life of me why Jason Garrett took Van Der Esch out of that game just to appease Sean Lee. Now, that's all I'm going to have. Hey, and the better team won, straight up. The better team won that game, and that's just the way it is. So props to the L.A. Rams. And good luck for the rest of the way. Anyway, but back to Phillip Rivers. Even if Phillip Rivers did win a Super Bowl this year, he's still not a Hall of Famer because he's still not the best in his draft class. You can't put them all in. And even if he had won this one Super Bowl, he's still not a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Thanks, D.A.
You got it, buddy. Thanks, Aaron. I don't think you have to be the best of your draft class because I could see how you could put in both Roethlisberger and Eli Manning, although I've got a problem with Eli Manning. But I think you could certainly put them both in, but you can't put them all in is a good way to put it. And at some point, Rivers has to play really well on big stages, and he just hasn't in a really long time. It was admirable that he played on that torn ACL back in 2007, but you saw again yesterday a guy that emotionally took himself out of the game midway through the second quarter with a team that was arguably more talented than the Patriots. And they trailed 38-7 before the Patriots basically just said, okay, we're in prevent now. Do whatever you want. We've only got a quarter to play. 855-212-4CBS. If you want to jump in on the playoffs that we just watched this past weekend. Mariah's going back to the Rams for a second. Do the Rams, do you think, end up replicating what they did or try to against the Saints? Do they say, okay, we just ran the football. Let's try to run the football again. This worked. We try to keep Drew Brees of the offense off the field. Or do they scrap it and say, that was a one-game thing. It worked against the Cowboys. We're going aerial again because we've got the weapons to do it and we can outshoot them.
I think you have to go to what's working right now and stay hot because there's still something a little off about Jared Goff since he lost Cooper Kupp, and you have to pound it until you can't pound it anymore, especially if you have two backs going like that, and especially now that, and now his name is slipping me, Saints' best defensive tackle pops his Achilles yesterday.
Right.
And I don't know why his name's forgetting me, but you could pound it up the middle on them all day long. And if they start to figure that out, then you take to the air and then you go aerial. I know the Eagles hit a couple big plays early and they could be had against the Saints secondary. But if you're the Rams, don't play to the other team. Play to what your strengths are right now. What your strength is just running the heck out of the football.
I know that Dak missed a couple of open receivers on Saturday. I did not think Dak was the reason that they lost that game. They lost that game because they could not run the football. And you can't ask Dak to throw 35 times a game. That's not how he's wired. Ezekiel Elliott had less than 50 yards. He had 20 carries for 47 yards. He just kept running into a brick wall.
Well, also, and today Jason Garrett announced that Scott Linehan is going to be back as the offensive coordinator. Play calling-wise, two of the biggest strengths the Cowboys had when they were going well is not being afraid to have Dak himself run it. Dak ran just twice before towards the end of the fourth quarter. And Zeke catching passes out of the backfield. That's what Todd Gurley does great. That's what Saquon Barkley does great. He didn't have one pass attempt his way in that game, at least up until late in the fourth quarter. It might have been, you know, the whole game. Regardless, that's not the way the Cowboys win. They went away from what was working for them and I think played, dare I say, scared into the Rams' strengths. And that's exactly why the Rams can't go away from what works for them and play right into the teeth of New Orleans' defense.
I agree. I think the problem with the Cowboys on Saturday was mostly coaching. I thought play calling and coaching, the Cowboys could not adjust. And then they ended up not being able to do the only thing that they really knew how to do. But if you're going to win with Dak Prescott, allow him to use his legs. You cannot be worried about that. And I think that Linehan and Garrett are both mediocre coaches. Look, would I make the change now? Not necessarily.
I would.
The problem is, with eight openings in the NFL, and now the first seven best assistant coaches or options gone off the board, do you really want to fire your coach now and go out there and be sifting through the bottom of the barrel candidates?
Yes, because you have the hottest candidate next year already on your staff in Chris Richard. He was that close to getting a job. People seem to love the way he interviewed. They want him to be one more year as an assistant coach. He's gone in Dallas next year if they don't make a change, Garrett. He's going to get a head coaching job. You have that guy already on your staff, people touting him as the next Mike Tomlin. It's now a decade of two playoff wins. And by the way, two playoff wins that if the Seahawks kicker doesn't get hurt and the refs don't pick up a flag versus Detroit, Jason Garrett is Marvin Lewis. I make the change now because you have the guy on your staff already.
Look, I agree that Jason Garrett is completely underwhelming. I totally agree that he's a below average coach. But you would just promote Chris Richard right now? No,
yes.
No questions asked.
Yes, I would, because he's going to be a... you would think a very good head coach somewhere else. Now, that's a crapshoot.
He's not going to be a head coach this offseason.
No, but he will be one at the end of next offseason. Now, if your point is we fire Garrett after one more year and then hire Richard, but at that point, who knows? Because if you're playing into the playoffs and that's your plan and you're just kind of going through the motions, well, Richard's going to take whatever job comes open. He's going to be the hottest candidate or one of next year again.
But isn't that a damned if you do, damned if you don't? Because if you're Jerry Jones and you keep Jason Garrett and the only reason you're not firing him next year is because he has a good season, I mean, that's what you want. You want him to have a good season.
Yes, but that's the problem. Garrett now is putting the Cowboys in a position where he might be good enough to get this young team into the playoffs. But is he good enough to go win a Super Bowl?
No.
I mean, he's very mediocre, and it's at such a dangerous time in Dak Prescott's career before he's about to get paid that you want to make sure you have the right man leading the way. And if you look around the league, and we're talking about innovative offenses, right, creative offensive minds, well, that was supposed to be Jason Garrett 10 years ago, and it seems like he's behind the times and cannot adjust to what any offensive coach is doing. You know what Garrett is. Garrett's good enough but not great enough. You have a hot candidate on your own staff. Make the move now.
Well, there is no doubt about it that he is nowhere close to an innovative offense mind, and neither is Scott Linehan. So the argument can never be that those guys are going to take your offense to the next level. They're very predictable. They're very old school. It's a pro-style offense. I mean, they utilize some innovative stuff when it comes to the mobility of Dak Prescott, but they're so hesitant to truly do so. They'd rather power run. They'd rather play traditionally. But I don't know. I mean, as much as I think Jason Garrett is average, he did just win the NFC East. They did just win a playoff game. And to me, that's a hard time to do it. Last couple of years when they missed the playoffs, yeah. When he was 13-3-1 and done, yeah. You finally got out of the Cowboys what you wanted to get out of the Cowboys. They had a great second half of the season. I'm going to fire him now? Of all the years, now I'm going to fire Jason Garrett?
Look, I just don't know. How long are you going to wait? You're just going to keep being mediocre and being good enough. The Cowboys are going to be the ultimate tease until Jason Garrett is gone.
855-212-4CBS is the phone number. We'll throw that out there for you guys as well. What do you do with Jason Garrett? T.O. tweeted that it's time to fire Jason Garrett, which is great because, of course, Jason Garrett ran him out of town, or at least he feels that way when he was still in Dallas. T.O. tweeted at Jerry Jones the other day after the game, "Hey, Jerry, about time for a coaching change, don't you think? Two playoff wins in 10 years. Garrett isn't the answer and never will be. Way to compete, guys. Hashtag real talk." Now, T.O.'s bonkers, not because he wants Jason Garrett fired, just because he's bonkers. And what we should bring up here is that they hate one another, or at least T.O. hates Jason Garrett. Mraz, take us back to last year's Super Bowl, when that interesting time when you were invited to Prince's Palace and none of us were.
It's Paisley Place. Have some respect on it. But yes.
And you went to this by invite only party and witnessed T.O. stare daggers into Jason Garrett.
Yeah, I could tell you. And this was one of those parties where they took your phones from you, so there was no picture proof of this. But Terrell Owens was there with two of his friends, and he kind of was a cast off in the corner by himself while all these former NFL players and athletes are mingling. And almost all of them would go up to Jason Garrett. You can tell how much respect Jason Garrett has around the league. And at one point, T.O. and Garrett were in a virtual look down at their drink, look up at each other, a half and half stare down for what felt like 3 to 10 minutes. I mean, it could have been, that's how long of it. And I couldn't keep my eyes off it. And T.O. didn't even blink, staring daggers through Garrett. And Garrett, you know, looked down, stir his drink, look back up, be like, okay, T.O.'s still looking at me. And it was just so awkward and so uncomfortable. But nobody was going up to say what's up to T.O. Everybody was going up to say what's up to Garrett. And you could tell there is definite friction, and T.O. does not like that man.
How dysfunctional are the Cowboys? It's kind of amazing they could actually field a team and go out there 16 weeks a season and occasionally make the playoffs. Because you could just tell after the game, Jason Garrett was talking so encouragingly about the team. It was exactly how he sells it to Jerry after every season. And there's a lot to look forward to. I'm really encouraged by these guys. In fact, they inspired me. The hair stood up on the back of my neck watching these guys. I was just so inspired. And you just know he is saying the same exact thing to Jerry Jones. So Jones is believing him, like, yeah. No, things are really good. Yeah, no, the team's really good. I'm excited. And then you have T.O. chirping at Jerry Jones, who feels comfortable enough to actually tweet at Jerry, hey, fire your coach right now publicly. Behind the scenes, you have Troy Aikman publicly saying behind the scenes is complete dysfunction, a complete overhaul is needed of the organization, that it's a family business, and so they don't really have independent thinkers. They just have the Jones clan making decisions as a family unit. It's just ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And not that I thought that the Cowboys would win the Super Bowl this year. I didn't even think they'd win the division. So I was wrong on that. Once they traded for Amari Cooper, I said, they are not Amari Cooper away from winning the NFC East. And they were. But it's, we talk about the Chiefs haven't won a home playoff game since in 25 years. Well, the Cowboys haven't been to an NFC Championship game in the same amount of time. 20 years, 22 years we're going on, 23 years. It's been a long time since they were actually a real contender. When we come back here on the show, Kyler Murray choosing baseball today?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.